Welcome to a message from Oasis Church. For more information about Oasis Church and how you can get connected, please visit myoasischurch.com. Thanks for listening and enjoy the message.
Turn with me to Hebrews chapter 12. All right. Hallelujah. Verse 1. And we're kind of in a series, I guess. I don't know. looking unto Jesus. And I'm kind of putting some words in here, mixing it up a little bit, looking unto Jesus as our good shepherd. But you got to make him your shepherd, right? You got to make it personal. You got to be able to say, Jesus is my shepherd. So we'll go with the verse. Let's start with verse 1. Looking unto Jesus as our shepherd. Hallelujah. In verse 1, it says, therefore, then, since we are surrounded, did I get the right one? I got my wrong Bible. Let me start again. I picked up the wrong one. I got so many Bibles, I picked up the wrong one. Let's see. Therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Hallelujah. It says, looking unto Jesus. Now, that's sort of the phrase we're going with. You know, and if you've been on this earth any time at all, you know, you look at something long enough, whatever it is, it starts to amplify. Whatever you focus on becomes number one thing in your mind. And you start thinking on it, and it goes around your mind and around and around. What's it? It's creating a path. And a lot of times you're thinking. You ever heard the word stinking thinking? Is that the right word? Yeah, something like that. Well, you're causing a rut in your own thinking, and it becomes stinketh around and around. So it's important to look at the Word, looking unto Jesus, in place of looking at something else, and put His thoughts in your mind, and let it go around and around, and let it create a pattern. Now there's a phrase, I want to look here, a phrase. In verse 1, it says, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance. That endurance, you looked it up, it's joyful endurance. So we're running a race joyfully. You have to remember, saints, we're not trying to get the victory. As soon as you were born again, you entered into victory. The born-again life, the Christian life, is a life of victory. Never forget that. You're not trying to get something. You got it. Right. Now you have to walk. I'm getting ahead of myself. You're getting me all excited here. Getting excited. Okay. In the Passion Bible, in the last part there, in part B, it says, the path has already been marked out before us. The path has already been marked. In other words, when you became the first day, born again life, new creature in Christ Jesus, you entered into His victory. Right?
Amen.
So, He has marked out a path for you. So, it's not like you have to try to figure something out. All you have to do is follow the path. Right? And this path is the path of victory. That's what I was trying to get before. It is victory. We don't go from defeat to defeat. We're coming out of victory, and you stay, as long as you stay on the path, And this path is uncompromising path. It's a path of discipline. You stay on this path and it takes you to victory, to victory, to victory.
Amen.
All the way. Listen, now I'm not saying you won't have setbacks. That's not what I'm saying. But I'm saying you keep moving. The word prosperity. Well, I was thinking about, we may get to Psalms 23, I don't know. Psalms 23 is all about victory. It's all about prosperity. I know you don't hear it too often because the enemy has twisted the whole thing. Psalm 23, to most people, is related to the graveside. That's what we say at the graveside. But it's meant for the living. It is designed to take you from prosperity to prosperity. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. Now that word want, we can say lack. On this path is no lack. On this path is no want. But you can also say this. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not decrease. Look that word up. It could be said decrease. Other words, on this path, as I keep my eyes focused on Him, looking unto Jesus, on this path, I go from level to level to level. I'm not saying you won't have setbacks, but I am saying this. It is designed for us not to go into decrease. God is a Father that wants to lead us. Listen, we are heirs of God, joint heirs with Christ. This is a done deal. You cannot improve on that. The only question is, are we going to prosper on this path? The only question is, am I going to keep myself in discipline? In other words, when I went into boot camp, the very first thing they taught us, or one of the first, is the march. And the drill sergeant instructor would get very upset when the young recruits would not step in line. And he would know just like that. From the sound, and he's always looking. And some of these guys are really smart in our platoon, but they couldn't march very good. For some reason, I don't know why, but the only thing I can think of is pressure. The drill sergeant yelling at them, they couldn't march. But the whole thing, marching is keeping in time, keeping in cadence, right? It's the same with the Christian life. Listen to me. It's about keeping in step with the Holy Spirit. It's keeping in step. When we look unto Jesus, you don't want to, Be very cautious. You never want to get in front of him, right? And at the same time, you don't want to lag way back that you can already see him. So you keep in step. The Bible says if we live in the Spirit, you're born again. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. That word walk means to keep in time. So really, Psalm 23 is about prosperity. It's about keeping in time with Jesus. Why? Because He wants to lead you from level to level. It's all about increase. Psalm 23, you write it down, I guarantee, it is about increase. It is about prosperity. Well, what does prosperity mean? Prosperity in the Greek means to go forward. It means to push. Look that up. I already done this. Prosperity means to push forward. It means to advance. It also means to break out. But there is some resistance. Paul talked about pressing forward. Remember in Philippians chapter 3. So what I'm saying is on this path that he just talked about, that Paul talked about, on this path, as we look unto Jesus, it is a path of prosperity. don't ever think that you're on this path and you think you're going to have to decrease. Now, I'm not saying we're not. I'm not saying we're all there yet. I'm not saying that we don't suffer setbacks. I'm not saying any of that. I'm just saying your attitude is you should be on the increase. And the problem with the American, the Western church, the first thing they want to think about is money. It's much more than just money. On this path is really, if you get your mind renewed on this path, on looking, Jesus is the Word, right? So as you look at the Word, you get your mind renewed to Him, you can expect increase. You can expect higher level. Just like a shepherd would lead the sheep, and you've seen pictures in the Middle East. The shepherd is leading the sheep around the mountain. Right. Well, that's a path. A path in the Bible means a circuit or an entrenchment or even a rut. He would lead his sheep into a circular path. They wouldn't go straight up the mountain, but they'd go around the mountain and around the mountain. Why? It's that time of season. Timing. It's about going level to level, keeping in step with the Holy Spirit, and it involves timing. Because you don't want to get in front of the shepherd. So since I got my Amplified Bible here, let's go ahead and read it. And the Amplified Bible, no, that's not it. Well, turn with me to Ephesians. That's what I'm thinking about. Turn with me to Ephesians chapter 2. Stick with me. I'm going someplace. Ephesians chapter 2. We're talking about the path. It's already marked out for us. But see, the thing is, it's already marked out for us, so we don't have to try to figure things out. In this path, it's marked out. We've already been blessed. I said this before. We're heirs of God, joint heirs with Christ. And we've already been blessed with every spiritual blessing in the heavenlies in Christ. So the blessing's already on us. But the question is, are we going to be in discipline on this path to receive it? So, since the path is a path of prosperity, and since Jesus already done the work, we call it the finished work of Jesus, since it already belongs to me, all I have to do is stick to the path, right? Walk this out on the path with my eyes focused on the Word. As I go forward, this is what happens. We start to discover what belongs to us on this path. Because here it is, if you're not prospering in your mind, in your soul area, all these blessings that's coming at us, that's already been given to us, you're not going to be able to discover them, because it takes the renewing of the mind to know what belongs to you. So we're on this path of prosperity. Man, all this stuff belongs to me, and we should be increasing. Well, the only way to increase is have the mind renewed to His Word. Then as we walk it out, we discover what belongs to us, right?
Right.
So in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10, it says, and I'm going to read out of the Amplified, it says, "For we are God's own handiwork, His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus, born anew, that we may do those good works which God predestined, planned beforehand, for us." Get this, He's already planned it, okay? The path's already been marked out. And He goes on to say, "taking paths with which He prepared ahead of time that we should walk in them, living a decreased." Maybe if you hit it right He's already predestined us to live a good life, which He prearranged and made ready for us to live. So He's already prearranged my path for us to live a good life.
Right.
All these blessings belong to us. The question is, are we going to live a disciplined mind to be able to receive it? It reminds me, it said marked out path. We went hiking 3 years ago, 4 years ago. It's been a while back. Down in Tennessee, they got these paths, these hikes, paths already marked off for you. So we read up on this one part. So we got our backpacks, brand new backpacks. They're lightweight. So you can put your snacks in them. That's the only thing I think you use them for. So you put your crackers and ho-hos and Twinkies in there. And we got these poles, these walking sticks, adjustable. You can adjust them out. They're walking stick, aluminum, weren't they? You can tell we do a lot of hiking. And then we both got hiking boots, lightweight boots. You know. So we got all this stuff. And we went on this one trail. Before he got on it, we had a guide. And he told us all about the trail. He told us what to expect. And it's a 3-hour trip. And I guess it's 3 hours. Maybe I'm thinking Gilligan's Island, 3-hour tour. 3-hour tour. Is it 3 or 4 hour?
It's 3 hours.
Okay. Well, anyway, he told us all the information. And I thought, well, let's get it going, you know. So we go down the path about 100 yards, and it stops. We stopped. Over. Less than 2 minutes. You believe that? I spent all this money. What happened is we came to what they call a swinging bridge. And it was swinging. Joanne said, no, I am not going on that. Of course, I could already tell by her eyes and with the jaw is that glazed Gomer look. I knew.
It's all over.
Yeah. So she said, no. So we got in the car and we went around and up the road and we met him over halfway. Then we caught up with them. Back on the trail again. So that ended up being a 40-minute or 30-minute walk. So then we went on another path. And we went, probably another 200 yards on this path, a new path. And guess what we come across? Another bridge, a swinging bridge. Now, here's the thing I'm trying to get. Before, she didn't even think twice. Out her mouth said, you go ahead. I can't do this. Something like that. Without even thinking twice. So what is she doing? She just rehearsed her last failure. Can't do it. So in her mind, when she sees a swinging bridge, she's already going to say, I can't do it. Not going to do it. So it's already, she's in a rut. That's a path. You heard ruts?
Yeah.
Usually they're a negative thing, aren't they? But you can't get into, according to the Word, a rut in the Word and be good. So without, what I'm saying, she's already developed, she's rehearsing something. So often we have a defeat, a failure, and God has a path for us, but yet we suffer the defeat. Instead of keep moving and forgetting about it and moving on, we keep thinking about that last defeat over and over. Well, that cycle's got to be broken, right?
Yeah.
And sometimes you just need help. Well, there was a lady there. Well, she said, Evidently, she's gone through this before too. So she knew we needed help. So she said, "Everybody off the bridge." Drill sergeant. So she instructed another person on the other end to not to allow anyone on the bridge. Because what happens, you get a lot of people on the bridge and it wants to move. That's not good for Joanne. So she said, "No one on the bridge, everyone off." And she goes, she's talking to Joanne. She goes, "Honey, I'm going to stop everyone on this side." And she goes, "This is what you're going to have to do. Hey, listen, we're up for suggestions, okay? We're stuck in a rut here because Joanne's not moving." So she said, "You got to get your eyes off the bridge. That's the problem, right? You focus on something long enough, you focus on that problem long enough, and that problem now is this big and bigger and getting bigger." So she said, "You're going to look beyond that bridge." So what she did, she had me to go first in front of Joanne, and Joanne was to look beyond or at my back. Then we kind of walked in time across the bridge, right? It worked. Now we walk across the bridge. Now here's the problem. We got to come back though.
Everybody off the bridge.
But she wasn't around this time. But she did help us over initially. Got us out of the rut. So don't ever be offended if you're in a rut and needed help. Right. I thank God there's a lady there who was bold enough. She screamed a little bit, but she got the people off the off the swinging bridge. A bunch of teenagers on there wanting to rock the thing. She's anyway. That's so we're coming back, but this time she is rehearsing the victory because she's got a new pattern, a new path in her thinking. Her thinking now is, "I can do it."
Amen.
That's the problem with the children of Israel when they came out of Egypt. They wouldn't remember. You know, in Psalm 78, it talked about how God delivered them by His hand, and they wouldn't remember it. They remembered what they had in bondage.
Right.
They are constantly thinking about what they had in Egypt. All those fish and watermelons and garlic and whatever they had. They remembered what they had in bondage, but they wouldn't remember the victories. They wouldn't rehearse it. What did Joshua and Caleb do? That's telling me that they did. If the people who didn't make it wouldn't remembered, that tells me that Joshua and Caleb did remember. So that tells me that they were constantly rehearsing all those victories that God did, the signs and the wonders. They kept it in the forefront. Well, Pastor Chuck, it doesn't cause faith to come, but I'll tell you what it does do. It does energize you. It gives you the zeal because, man, you've seen His hand move. You're already on the Word. You already believe all things are possible. You're already on the Word. But then you're seeing Him move, all these signs and wonders. You could tell in their speech, "Let us go at once. They're bread to us." And all these, such confidence, such a zeal. And part of it was because they rehearsed the victory.
Amen.
Don't ever forget what God has done for you. Don't ever forget it. Listen, even if you say, "Oh, I don't remember much of anything." What, do you remember the day you were born again? That's the greatest victory of all. Just remember that. That day changed, man. When that day happened, everything changed. You became a new creature in Christ Jesus. Old things become new. You're a new species in Christ Jesus. That's the greatest victory right there. Start rehearsing it. Get back in the Word. Get back on the path. David rehearsed the His victories,
yeah.
Right?
Yes.
Yeah, so listen.
Yes, he did.
I'm thinking of someone else. I'm thinking of Moses. Moses, well, actually, it's in Exodus chapter 3. Go with me to Exodus chapter 3. Let's look at that. If you think you're in a rut, look at Moses. Exodus chapter 3. Now Moses, I want to go to verse 2. Now Moses, you have to remember, Moses, he left Egypt trying to deliver Israel by his own strength, right?
Right.
In the book of Acts, it talked about Moses was mighty in deeds. No, he's mighty in words and in deeds. I think it's chapter 7 of Acts, someplace in there. So the guy did some exploits. Well, that's great, but to deliver Israel, it's going to take more than just natural side of it. Well, that's the way he tried to do. So he kills an Egyptian, right? You saw the movie. He kills the Egyptian, which is true. They got that right. They got that right, and then the Pharaoh hears about it, and the word gets out, and he's gone. Okay, now we go to Acts chapter 3. Exodus chapter 3, and we'll pick it up. Let's see, I want to make sure I get on the right, on the New King James. Verse 2, and the angel of the, did I tell you where to go? Exodus 2, or 3, 2. And the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a flame afar from the midst of the bush. So he looked, and behold, the bush was burning with fire, but the bush was not consumed. Then Moses said, I'm going to stop right there, I think. Now you have to remember, on the run, now he's been spending the last 40 years on the backside of a desert. You know, he's been eating humble pie. Okay, he's got to be humbled a little bit here. He really messed things up big time. So he's been on the backside of this desert for 40 years. So he's got his routine, right? He's a shepherd. He's shepherding sheep. He's got this circuit he goes on. He takes the sheep on this circuit. That's what he's done for the last 40 years. That's it. Now, some scholars say that he was, in these 40 years, he was seeking God, but I just don't see it. He's just living life. He's just living life. He is now 80 years old. Yeah, he's going to deliver Israel. From Egypt. Well, not in his strength, obviously. So he's doing the same thing for 40 years. He's a Hebrew. He's raised an Egyptian. He's a Hebrew, so he doesn't really fit with the Egyptians. And Hebrews don't like him because he's got too much Egyptian in him. He's been in he's with the Mennonites, the Midians for 40 years. And see, and you thought you had an identity crisis. He don't know where he's supposed to be at. So here's the question. Can he break out of this rut? Can he break out of it? If he can break out, saints, anyone can break out. I don't care what kind of rut you're in. We used to go, of course, I was raised up in the strip pits. We'd take our makeshift dune buggies out, and we'd always get them hung up. Once they bottom out on the frame, you're stuck. Moses is stuck. But God knows how to find you. God shows up in a burning bush. Verse 2, he shows up in a burning bush. Then Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush does not burn. Now, go back up. It says, then Moses said, right there is his turning point. He's going to make a break from the past, and he's going to pivot right to the burning bush. Burning bush represents the presence of the Lord. I personally believe it's Jesus. I mean, yay or nay, it doesn't really matter. It's God, but I believe it's Jesus. I believe he is the great I am. He says that over and over in the New Testament. He says in the New Testament, Jesus said, before Abraham was, I am. Long before Abraham came into existence, I am. Remember in the garden? When they came to find him, you know, they found Jesus and asked him, You the one? You Jesus? In the original text, he said, I am. That's it. Then it goes, they departed. Everyone in the front departed. The first rapture. They all fell backwards. You're not taking my life, I'm laying it down. I am. So there's a voice coming out of the bush, and we're going to see here. He said, I will turn aside and see this great sight. So when, get this in verse 4, it says, when the Lord saw that he turned aside to look, God called to him, listen to this, God did not say a word until he makes the decision to turn aside. God was completely silent, waiting for him to make a response to his presence. Saints, God is waiting for us. You're thinking, well, I'm waiting on God. No, he's probably waiting on you to turn aside from your old habits, turn aside from your old... See, he's making a break. You hear what I'm saying? He's making a 40-year break out of a rut of doing the same old thing day after day, week after week, month after month. Now all of a sudden, he's going to turn aside, and now he's looking at the very presence of God. And as the Lord, it says there that the Lord watched him to see if he would even do that. What if he would not have turned aside and make that first step? Remember what the word says, draw nigh to God, then he'll draw nigh. If you take that first step, it's called, he's waiting for a response. You remember when the disciples, when they was on the sea and the storm was raging and the disciples were in the boat and Jesus was walking. Remember that? And the Bible said that Jesus would have passed them by. But here's the thing. They cried out to him. What if they would not have cried out to him? What if the disciples would have said, well, there goes Jesus. There he goes. Yeah. Well, don't bother the master now. He's busy. He is on the agenda. We know he's a busy man. He just prayed. He's gone. We can handle this. Listen. It wasn't until they cried out that Jesus responded. I believe Jesus would have kept on walking. Because they said he would have passed him by. But they cried out. A cry of faith. We need help. Jesus responds. Right? He's waiting for a response. You know, it's like the two men walking the Emmaus Road. Is that what they call it?
Yeah.
Emmaus Road. Well, anyway, these two, they were walking with Jesus. Remember that? And as they walked with Jesus, they were talking about scriptures and how their heart burned within them, right? Well, they got close to town, and then Jesus acted as if he was going to go further down, but the Bible said they constrained him to turn aside to stay with them. I said they had to, they constrained him, asked, wanted him to turn aside to abide with him, and then he responded, or else he would have went right on to the next town. He's waiting for a response. What a blessing to have Jesus. I mean, your heart, I mean, all this stuff, and then you bring him in to your own home, your house, and you break bread with him, fellowship with him, talking about scriptures even more so. Then all of a sudden, Jesus breaks bread and their eyes were open to see him. Wow. Oh, come on. Oh, Pastor Chuck, you know, it's more blessed is he who has not seen. Well, forget, he's initiated it. I'm just inviting him into my home. Now, it'd be another thing if I tried to do something, but he's the one started. Come on in. Come on. They got blessed. Point is, God, so many times, he's waiting for us to respond. So Moses responds, and then Jesus, and well, what does it say? God speaks to him. I believe it's Jesus, because you read this, just that voice, it says, he called him, let's see, verse 4 says, God called to him from the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, here am I. The good shepherd calls his sheep by name and leads them out. The great I am is about to lead Moses. He's about to commission Moses. He's about to have commissioned Moses to do what he wanted to do 40 years ago, but now he's going to be anointed to do it, to lead his people out. Amen. Amen. So the whole key here, saints, is forgetting the past. Your whole future is in front of you. It's whatever you want to make of it. It's done. All we have to be is disciplined to walk the path out. Keep it in step. Look into the Word on a constant basis. Now turn with me. We'll close. I believe we're going to close here in a minute. Go with me to Joshua chapter 1. You know, when you're breaking old cycles, old thought patterns, you got to watch what you say. The quickest way, and I was taught this by Kenneth E. Hagin years ago, the quickest way to snap out of old cycles, old thought patterns, is with words. Right. And obviously, you got to think right. I mean, the reason why he said words, because listen, because when you speak words, when you confess God's word, your brain will cease. Well, not cease, but it will stop. I think mine does sometimes. Your brain will stop to hear. It will stop thinking to hear you talk. It'll listen to you. It breaks that pattern. So the quickest way to break the cycle of negative thinking is your speech, your confession. And the first thing he tells Joshua, the very first thing, verse 8, Joshua 1:8, this book of the law shall not depart from your mouth. In other words, you need to be in your mouth at all times. You shall meditate in it day and night. Let's just stop right there. What's he saying? The word in your mouth, confession. Number two, meditation. In even meditation, saints, listen, is muttering. You're still talking. David said, I love your law. We can say now we love his word. And in his word is my meditation all the day. I think Psalms 119, 90-something. But he talks about his word is my meditation all throughout the day. So you take the God's word in your mouth and in your mind, you're meditating constantly. It will bring, listen to me, it will bring revelation to your path. Revelation is light. In other words, his word, when it comes a rhema or comes alive to you, it's revelation, it's light. Light for what? Light for your path.
Yeah.
Well, okay, so you're saying talking God's word, meditation brings revelation. It brings a light. His word's a lamp unto my feet, a light to my path. So now I got revelation because I did some meditation. It just don't come automatically. As you walk this out, as you're focused on Jesus, you're speaking the word, meditating on the word, light begins to show in front of you. Your path is now lit because of revelation. It's light. Now here's another thing you can say. Revelation to do what? Okay, to walk the path to do what? To do good works. So meditation, revelation to do good works. He says to do. Let's just go on and read the rest of it. It says, meditate in it day and night that you may observe and to do. So you got revelation to do according to all that is written in it. For then you shall make your way prosperous. In other words, revelation. You get revelation on something, then as you walk it out, you have manifestation. So there's a process here. He's telling Joshua the secret, a process. You get the word in your mouth. You keep it in your mouth. You meditate in it every day. You're going to get some revelation out of this in order to do. And as you do, a manifestation comes. It's a law of faith. It has to manifest itself because you believe, because you put the word to work. Now it's lit up your path. It's a well-lit path. You're walking in discipline. You're walking in time with the Holy Spirit. Now you're prospering as you go. You're prospering and receiving all the blessings as you go down the path. All because you gave acknowledgement of the word. You gave first place in your life. I'm saying a lot of things here. I hope I'm not clogging up the drain here. But as you walk this out, everything's done. I mean, everything's done. All we have to do is give acknowledgement to His Word. Put His Word first place. And then all this, the revelation starts to come. Have you ever had words to pop out? Revelation? Wow, I didn't know that. But that doesn't mean it's manifest. It doesn't mean it's manifested yet. You just got a revelation. Now you got to walk out this revelation. That's when you get the manifestation. Let's read on. It goes on. It says, "And then, for then, you shall make your way prosperous." Why? Because you put His word first. That word prosperous, again, let me say it again. It means to advance. In other words, you're going to advance on your pathway. You're going to prosper. Prosperity is on your path now because you're walking this out. Amen? Amen. Prosperity, it says, that you may be prosperous and you shall deal wisely. Well, I'm reading on another side now. That's all right. And then you shall make your way prosperous and you shall deal wisely and have good success. Let me read back on the other side. I got the wrong Bible. Always pick up the right one. For verse 8, for then you will make your way prosperous. Notice it says, you shall make your way, your path. What God's called you, your path, your way prosperous. In other words, you'll be going from prosperity to prosperity to prosperity, all because you gave acknowledgement to God's word. That's guaranteed. You know, I listen to Kenneth Hagin, and I got to close. I know I give you a lot of stuff. I hope we'll have to touch base on this again. But when you listen to Kenneth Hagin, there are certain scriptures he is like playing a keyboard. You know he's going to hit the keys of Mark 11, 23, 24. You know, it's like bing, 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 bing. Then over here, he'd get that. He'll hit, a lot of times he'll hit this right here, Joshua 1:8. I mean, it's stuck with me over these years. I mean, he just play it. Those keys, the keyboard, he'll play it and play it. Now it's in my mind, it's in my thinking. You know. But saints, listen, the key to living to the path is marked out. All we have to do is discipline ourselves, renew the mind. It's an ongoing thing, right? Ongoing. It never stops. I mean, it is so great. You know, you walk this path, we've been given all these blessings and stuff, and it's like, man, we're blessed. And you're walking down this path, and you're putting the word first, and everything starts to light up, and you begin to do what it actually says to do. That's a good thing, right? Then it starts to manifest. If you're not doing, don't expect manifestation.
Right.
You know, well, I got revelation. Okay. That's good. That's great, really. That gives you the ability to light up your path now to walk it out. It will bring manifestation. Healing belongs to me. Amen. I got revelation of it, but it doesn't mean I'm healed. In order to get manifestation of it, I want to do what it says. In other words, act like I believe it. Instead of me going to my wife and telling her how bad I have it and that she would make some soup for me. Help me over this hump. Hey, man, I got to quit. I got to quit. Now, I don't do that anymore. I do not ask for sympathy from my wife. I used to. See, why'd you do that, Pastor Chuck? Because she gave it to me. She created a pattern. And it came a rut. And in my mind's thinking, if I'm not feeling good, Joanne, could you help me out a little bit? Some soup? Give me some sympathy? Amen. You know, I'm going to close with this. You know, I will say this. I don't have near enough time. But Kenneth Hagin talked about this too. There was two prayers that he constantly prayed over himself and meditated in and spoke over himself. Ephesians chapter 1, prayer in Ephesians chapter 1, verses 16 through 20 in that area. And in Colossians chapter 1, verse 9 through 12, it talked about prayer, about God filling you with the knowledge of His will in all wisdom, spiritual understanding, that you may walk worthy, being fruitful in every good work. Those prayers, saints, you should pray over yourself. Speak those. And in Ephesians chapter 1, it talks about the spirit of wisdom and revelation resting in the spirit of wisdom and revelation, the knowledge of Him, your heart being enlightened, or the eyes of your heart being enlightened. I would go to those prayers and speak those over your life. If you don't know what God has called you to do, of course we have a general calling, right? The Bible says, "Rejoice in the Lord." Again, I say, rejoice always, or something like that, in Philippians chapter 4 and 3. He repeats it over and over in Philippians. But we know that rejoicing in the Lord is God's will. Well, it's loaded. It's all through the New Testament. It's all throughout the Bible. We have the general knowledge of God's will. But you're saying, well, Pastor Chuck, I don't know the exact detail of what I'm called to do. Start speaking over yourself. Insert your name in there. Put yourself in there. You start saying, don't say, I don't know what to do. Don't say that. Yes, you do know what to do. You have an anointing from the Holy One, an unction from the Holy One. You know all things. Say stuff like that. Don't ever say, I don't know what to do. Don't get yourself in that pattern. You do know what to do. Say this, say, my heart has been enlightened. My heart is enlightened. Say stuff like that. I know the call of God. It's been revealed to me. Start inserting your name in those prayers. We've done that. We don't do it every day, but we'll say, you know, we'll quote, especially Colossians 1. I am filled with the knowledge of God's will. I'm not going to be. I am filled with the knowledge. Of course, you've got to be in the Word.
Right.
You know, come on. I am filled with the knowledge of God's will, and so on. Put your name in that and meditate in that and get a revelation of it. Then the manifestation will come.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Amen. We all have a call. But there's enough general, like assembling ourselves together. And that's another general. Tithing, and we go on and on and on. Praising, worship, all those are generals, and we do them, but then there's a certain niche that each one of us have, right? And we want to go in that niche, that path, that special calling. We'll start speaking over yourself, and it'll come. Because His Word never fails. His Word is light. The unfolding of His Word gives light. It starts to unfold in Jesus' name. Amen.
That concludes today's message. For more information about Oasis Church, please visit myoasischurch.com. Thanks for listening.